Today we are doing a sung prayer for illumination. It is from Sing the Faith. It's number 2200. O Lord, hear our prayer. Today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now. For it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It was about 11 years between my ordination and my first baptism. Now, when ministers, people who feel called to be ministers, go to seminary, one of the things that they expect to be doing once they have finished seminary and or are in a church and ordained is to be able to, of course, serve the Lord's Supper and also to baptize people. But in between my graduation from seminary and my ordination and the time that I first baptized someone, I served mostly small churches. And a lot of times they didn't have any kids, and I was often an interim pastor. And interims don't get to perform baptisms all that often because usually their term is short. There just aren't that many babies born in a 1 to 2 year term in a small church. Plus, often people and parents want to wait until the real pastor comes. Now, I learned not to be offended by this. It's understandable that people want to be baptized or have their children baptized by someone that they have a relationship with, someone who might be there to see the child grow up or to help nurture the faith of a newly baptized youth or adult. Though I must admit that I often rolled my eyes when the term "real pastor" was used. But I like to think that that just shows how seriously people take baptism and that it's a good thing, because baptism is a serious act. In fact, it's a radical act, an act of courage and commitment. And it isn't an end unto itself, but it's a beginning. Picture this scene. As the afternoon sun beat down on the land, people gathered at the river to hear the words of the Wild One, the one who lived in the wilderness and ate strange things. But something about him and the words he spoke drew them in. Something about his message touched their souls. "Repent," he called out. "The kingdom of the Lord is near." Something about him, his passion, and certainty made them want to confess their sins, to be baptized in the Jordan River. Crowds came to see him. Even Pharisees and Sadducees were intrigued and came to him, if only to hedge their bets. Out of the crowd stepped a man John recognized as the one to come. You come to me for baptism? I should be baptized by you. The man smiled. Let it be so now, he said, because this is how God wants it. And John baptized him, and the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit landed on him. And God spoke, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." As we read and retell the story of Jesus' baptism from Matthew's Gospel, we notice two things. First of all, this is the only version in which John and Jesus actually speak to each other. John is shocked. You come to me? Jesus is resolute. It is God's will. In the other two synoptic gospels, the baptism just happens. The Spirit comes and God speaks. And in John's gospel, we don't see the actual baptism at all. But here, the conversation is recorded. John at first stopped Jesus, resisted him. Surely, if he was the one, he wouldn't need to be baptized. Secondly, if we look at the scene in context, we see that this event happens at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Up to now, the narrative has been about the genealogy of Jesus, placing him in the context of the history of God's people, and also about his birth, the escape of the family to Egypt, and their return to settle in Nazareth. Up to now, Matthew has been setting the stage for Jesus to enter the scene, including the prediction of John that he was only the opening act, that another one was coming who would baptize with fire and the Holy Spirit. And these two things are what make the act of baptism for Jesus so radical. John knew someone was coming, someone that he understood would be very powerful, someone sent by God. So why, if Jesus was the one, did he need to be baptized? Much ink has been spilled on this question, and perhaps you've heard other preachers address this topic, but still, it's a good question. As the Son of God, why did Jesus need to be baptized? Well, the obvious answer is given by Jesus himself. God wants me to be baptized. It is God's will that I be baptized. Here I am, the embodiment of God on earth, to undergo this ritual, a ritual that other human beings go through. So perhaps it isn't so much a cleansing for repentance of sins, but an act of solidarity between God and humanity. Because that's what baptism is to us Christian Presbyterians in the 21st century, an act of solidarity, a sign and seal that we belong to the triune God, the Creator Christ, and Holy Spirit. John Calvin wrote that we are not our own, but the Lord's. And we often repeat those words when we say the brief statement of faith in worship. In life and death, we belong to God. Baptism doesn't cleanse us of our sins as much as it acknowledges that we belong to God and live under grace. That as humans, we will continue to sin, but through our baptism and grace, God has already forgiven us. It's important to note that baptism itself wasn't invented by John the Baptist. The Jewish people also have what is called a ritual bath, a spiritual practice undertaken by Jewish people at certain times. For example, after a woman's menstrual cycle, or before a priest does a divine ritual, or a bride before her wedding, or men on the eve of Yom Kippur, in preparing a dead body for burial, and as new converts prepare to enter Jewish life. Those are some of the primary times that a ritual bath is done. And again, this is not for cleansing the body, and it's not for forgiveness of sins particularly, but it's just a spiritual cleansing. John's baptism was in response to repentance for sin, which was a new way of using baptism. And as for Jesus, the ritual can be seen as sort of a rite of passage, transferring authority from John to Jesus. And this brings us to the importance of Jesus' baptism happening at the beginning of his ministry and what it means for us. Before Jesus did anything, before he changed the water to wine, before he called anyone to follow him, before he spent 40 days in the wilderness, he went to John for baptism. If this ritual signifies belonging to God, then we have given ourselves to God, or our children, if we baptize them as babies or small children. The implications of this are that we are under God's direction rather than the world's direction. That we become like Jesus, who made the blind see and the lame walk, who was compassionate with the poor and oppressed, and who lived outside of the world's rules. And this is why baptism is radical, scandalous, shocking, outrageous. Once we are baptized, we take on a role that flies in the face of the world's way of seeing and doing, where systems are established by the powerful and wealthy to benefit themselves, and the meek don't inherit anything. Baptism isn't an end, even though sometimes we do it after a period of instruction in the faith, or we do it after a child is born. We baptize, or we are baptized, and we think, okay, it's done, and we check it off of our to-do list, and we move on. But what if we do think of baptism as a beginning of a new way of life, a new way of living in the world? What if we were conscious of our baptism every day of our lives? What difference would it make in the world? And to what we do in the world. In the Star Wars movies, the rebel movement is aided by a group of Jedi Knights, people who are conscious of something called the Force that gives them powers and abilities over and above normal humanity. Luke Skywalker discovers the Force when he encounters the old sage Obi-Wan Kenobi, who tells Luke that the Force is with him and he can harness its power. Luke begins to learn about the Force, but it's only after he sees his mentor killed that he fully embraces what it offers. It's a new beginning, one that he doesn't seek, but that comes on him, not by accident, but by design. And it changes his life forever, as well as the fate of the Rebel Alliance. When I think of baptism, I think of living in ways that challenge the world's power, much in the way that the Jedi Knights challenged the Empire. I find it somewhat frightening, and I'm not even dashing through space. But the powers of darkness are real, and they aren't just a figment of some filmmaker's imagination. And we face those powers every day. Darkness in our world doesn't come in the guise of Darth Vader and a Death Star, at least not yet. But it is there. Nevertheless, it's there in the heroin and the cocaine and the meth that steal the lives of mostly poor people. It's there in the unjust justice system that punishes people of color more harshly for the same crimes that white people commit. It's there in the expensive housing developments that push the poor out of affordable neighborhoods with no thought as to where they'll go or how they'll live. It's in the large corporations that enrich shareholders on the backs of low-wage workers, who lobby to strip workers of any right to protest and who move jobs overseas to reduce labor costs, leaving our own workforce underemployed or even unemployed. But when we are baptized, we become lights in the darkness, and the darkness can't overcome us. When we are baptized, we join with the great cloud of witnesses who have come before us, including, and most importantly, Jesus the Christ, who shows us the way, the truth, and the life, the way of loving God and neighbor, the truth that speaks to power in the name of justice, and the life that we have in the new kingdom, a life that is filled with the Spirit and blessed by God. It's outrageous to think that one small act in a person's life could make such a difference. It's scandalous to think that baptism brings us into Christ as fully human members of the body so that we are one with Christ. It's shocking to believe that through the way, truth, and life that we live in, through and with Christ, we can stand up to the power of darkness and with our light and love and hope make that darkness light. So friends, remember your baptism. Remember it today. Remember it tomorrow. Remember it every day. Amen.
Let us affirm what we believe using the words from a brief statement of faith. Please read along with me. We trust in Jesus Christ, fully human, fully God. Jesus proclaimed the reign of God, preaching good news to the poor and release to the captives, teaching by word and deed and blessing the children, healing the sick and binding up the brokenhearted, eating with outcasts, forgiving sinners, and calling all to repent and believe the gospel. Friends, please join me in prayer. Lord, as we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, help us remember our baptism. Help us remember what we have sworn to do and be in you. Lord, take these offerings and bless them and use them to work in your service. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would the deacon come forward, please?
As we prepare to hear the prayers of the people, I invite you to share any prayer requests that you have. And I'll start with these that I've been handed from Jean Jennings. She asks us to pray for her brother-in-law, John Strunk, whose cancer has returned. And there, I have a request to pray for Karen Jones, who suffered a bad fall, and for the families of the Fort Lauderdale victims. Are there any other prayer requests? We mentioned Bill and Becky this morning as they travel home in the snow. Yes, Janet? Thanks to Dan and Dawn and Jeff, for they are the gremlins. Are there any other prayer requests? Yes, Joe?
My brother Jack had dinner the other night with my other brother Andy and his wife. And they were all good better and they're not getting rid of much trouble. So thanks for that.
Okay. So Jack's wife, Debbie?
Andy's wife.
Andy's wife, Debbie. Jim?
Yes, I want to give a status report on Ted Houston that I submitted for prayer. He is waiting on the go-ahead from his cardiologist to get a hip repair or a replacement, which is operation on the 23rd of next month. And we're all praying that that goes forward so he'll be able to get that done and relieve a lot of the terrible pain that he's going through. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. This is a prayer for Jim's friend Ted, who lives at Colonial Heights, who is waiting on clearance to have a hip replacement, some kind of hip surgery, from clearance from his cardiologist. So continue to pray for Ted. He's in a lot of pain, a lot of chronic pain, and if you know anyone or if you've suffered from it yourself, you know what a devil that is. Are there any other prayer requests? Yes, Sharon? I'm glad that he's home, but bless her heart. Mark?
Yeah, a co-worker of mine, Jason Hanna, his mother just passed away Thursday.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Jason Hanna? Please pray for Jason as his mother passed away this week. Yes, Jack?
Continue prayers for Nita. She's in rehab. She'll be coming
home tonight. Okay, Nita, please pray for Nita. She is at Health South in rehab and should be coming home Friday. But calls and cards are very welcome, and visits as well. I'm sure. Other prayer requests? Then let us turn our hearts and minds to God in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come to you with open hearts, with full hearts, thanking you and praising you for our ability to be here today, for the beautiful sunshine that pours down upon us, for the beautiful space that we have to gather and to share your love with each other. We offer to you at this time the prayers that come from within this group, prayers for those who are connected to this church and for the world as well. Lord, we pray for the places where there is darkness and violence and hunger and oppression. And we pray that you can lead us to the places where we need to be involved to bring your light, to help by building relationships and getting to know the people around us. We pray for our country as we prepare to install a new president. We pray for wisdom of our leaders that they will think of all of the people and not be too influenced by special interests. We pray for those who are in the cold, who live out where they have no real good shelter from the cold during this time. And we pray for those who provide shelter for those who need it. We pray as well for Karen Jones, who suffered a bad fall. We pray for the families of the Fort Lauderdale victims, some of whom will not recover, some of whom will. We pray for Jean's brother-in-law, John Strunk, whose cancer has returned. We pray for Jason Hanna, who lost his mother this week. We pray for Ted as he awaits the opportunity to have his pain relieved through hip surgery. We pray a prayer of thanksgiving that Danny Thomas is home, is still recovering from his stroke, but is home. And we pray a thanksgiving that his family is reunited. And we pray for Danny as he continues to recover and Lisa as she supports him. We pray for Andy's wife, Debbie, who is doing better. And we pray for Nita as she goes through some physical therapy this week at Health South, that she will return to strength and confidence in her ability to move through the world in her usual way. And now, Lord, in the quietness of this place, we offer to you those prayers that are known only to us in our hearts. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks and praise for being a part of our lives, for making your presence known to us, and for hearing our prayers today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is Song of Hope, number 432. As we go forth from this place, I challenge you to remember your baptism every day of the week, every day of the year, and in doing so, to love and to serve the Lord. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you this day and forevermore. Amen.